I want to say what a privilege it is to be with you at St. Peter here this morning, and I bring the greetings from all the faithful at St. Ignatius in Franklin, Tennessee. For those of you that may not know, St. Ignatius and St. Peter have a long and intimate relationship together that spans well over 30 years, and it's a great privilege to be with you here this morning. I do want to say one thing before the homily. Father John doesn't know I'm going to say this, and he's going to get mad at me for saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway for two reasons. Number one, I'm immediately getting out of town, and number two, he can get over it. But as I said, I've known Father John for over three decades. Don't get to spend as much time with him as I would like, but we've roomed together at conferences, we've chatted together at symposiums, we've called each other. I've sought his counsel numerous times with pastoral matters. I've known him a long, long time. I see him in places and at times that you don't, when he's not here, when he's away from you. And I think you know this already, but I want you, from an objective observer, for the past 30 years, anytime I've been with this man, anywhere, what is on his heart and his mind constantly is you. I don't know all of you, and I know you all, we all carry burdens, don't we? And every day we wake up and there's burdens in life that we have to carry. But in the midst of whatever burden you're carrying, I don't want you to ever forget that this man carries the burden of every single one of you. You love him. You support him. You do whatever it takes to make that cantankerous old man happy. Pray for him, support him, and his family, without whom he could not carry that burden that he so willingly carries. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. I'm going to describe culture to you. Think of a culture that is totally materialistic. Life is all about what you get. Life is all about your bling, showing off what you got. What you own is a measure of your success and who you are. Imagine a culture that prides itself in being very cosmopolitan, very diverse, a melting pot where people from all over the world come. Imagine a culture in which the preachers complain that the people are more interested in sports and theater than they are the church. Imagine that. Imagine a culture in which there are two political parties that love to meet in the streets and fight each other. Imagine a culture in which it is not unknown or even uncommon for political leaders to use their religious affiliation for political gain. Imagine a culture like that. Does it sound familiar? Well, it is. It's the culture of Constantinople in the 4th century. And if you look back over the history of that great city, and in that time and place, although we might consider ourselves modern, the foibles of human nature and fallen human nature never change. Today we recognize a man, a voice that comes into the midst of that culture, St. John Chrysostom, St. John the Golden Tongue. And you can't be around the Orthodox Church very long without encountering St. John. For after all, we're doing his liturgy this morning, aren't we? God's liturgy, but by his hand. On that great and glorious day of Holy Pascha, whose homily does the church universally proclaim? The Paschal homily of St. John Chrysostom. I remember many, many years ago, we had just become Orthodox, and a group of the former EOC priests were discussing their Easter homily, because from a Protestant background, the homily's the thing, right? And a bunch of them were discussing what they were going to say, and an old Serbian priest was at a meeting. They turned to him and asked him what he was going to preach about, and he looked at them and said, "So, you think you're better than St. John Chrysostom?" I don't claim that, and none of us do. But every Orthodox priest that's probably stood in front of a podium has quoted him, has read him, has been inspired by him. St. John Chrysostom, the golden tongue. And in the midst of this culture that I've just described, in the midst of this culture that is so much like ours, this man stands. And he preaches the truth. And in the midst of an unbelieving world and a cynical world, a world that frankly should just soon not pay that much attention, he unwaveringly proclaims the truth. Sometimes to his detriment. And even though the words and the truths that he spoke often confronted and challenged the culture, even when they tried to dislike him, they could not turn from that voice and that truth. And in the midst of all that cynicism and all that selfishness and all that fallen nature, St. John Chrysostom proclaimed the truth. He took care of the sick. He changed the community and the world in which he lived forever. In the midst of all that cynicism and all that selfishness and that fallen human nature, how did St. John Chrysostom get away with preaching a truth that made people uncomfortable? It made the empress extremely uncomfortable, to the point she got rid of him twice. But how did he do it? How, as we as Christians in this culture that reflects many of these things, how can we speak the truth and be heard? Brothers and sisters, I think the key to St. John Chrysostom's golden tongue, the tongue that changed the world in the midst of all these things, is that while he was unwavering in preaching the truth, he never failed to preach the truth with love. In today's gospel, we're told that the two great commandments is to love the Lord our God with all our being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Another way of saying that is we are called to speak the truth in love. And something I learned a long time ago is that if we do not speak the truth in love, then truth can become a weapon. Yes, we can speak true things, but if they're not spoken and uttered in love, then they become a battering ram and something that muffles the voice of the truth rather than amplifies it. And so our challenge in this world that we find ourselves is to be unwavering in our proclamation of the truth, but to be sacrificial in our love for those we speak to. This is why St. John was golden. This is why he changed the culture. This is why he changed history. And in the midst of all those negative things of fallen human nature, the voice of Jesus Christ was heard and responded to. not simply because he eloquently shouted theological truth from the rooftops, but he shouted it with love. Speaking the truth in love is not without cost. St. John was exiled. I told my congregation, you know, we all hear talk today in this country and throughout the world how it's going to be increasingly difficult to be a Christian. How we're, you know, the persecution and the mocking is going to increase. It's going to be harder and harder to be a Christian. But brothers and sisters, I believe the difficulty in that is not the difficulty of standing for the truth. The challenge of that is loving. And the meaner the world gets, the more we have to love. I told my congregation a couple of weeks ago, if you want to know what it means to be a martyr, truly be a martyr and die to self, then try to speak the truth and love at the same time. That's what will change the world. That's what will redeem this culture that we're so worried about. This is the fulfillment of loving God with all our strength and our neighbors ourselves. It's so easy to be angry. It's so easy to be frustrated. It's so easy to point the finger at voices different from ours and lash out in righteous indignation. If we do that, brothers and sisters, we're part of the problem. But if we speak the truth of Jesus Christ with sacrificial love, then just like St. John Chrysostom, no matter what happens, even death, will bring the words from our mouth, glory to God in all things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.